It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Dallas officials say it may take longer than expected to shut down a homeless encampment known as Tent City. A few hundred homeless people live in the camp under Interstate 45 near downtown. Social workers have been helping them find places to live. Nonprofit groups that help the homeless plan to create more emergency shelter space. They updated the Dallas City Council today with their plans. Jay Dunn is president and CEO of The Bridge. He says the homeless problem goes beyond Tent City.
We're now seeing significant encampments in each of your districts. And I really am concerned about the fact that if we do not deal with these lack of capacities that we've got, we're just going to see more of this.
Dallas officials had wanted Tent City shut down by early May. Some city council members questioned whether that would be possible. Some say the emergency shelters are a short-term fix to a long-term problem. Others say more needs to be done to help homeless people, such as offering free bus passes and finding long-term housing. Councilmember Scott Griggs says the plan for moving people out of Tent City is incomplete.
We need to get a plan in place. Right now, what I see is just one element of the plan, where are we going to move people to? But without all these other pieces that we know we need, we are setting ourselves up for failure.
Griggs has concerns about how Dallas police will handle people who don't want to leave Tent City and how officials will prevent the homeless from returning. Texas Education Commissioner Mike Morath says that if recent problems with the state STAR tests aren't fixed by May, he may look for another testing company. Last week, during testing, more than 14,000 exams were affected, including students from Arlington ISD. Debbie Ratcliffe with the Texas Education Agency says some students tried saving their answers, but that didn't work. Other answers that looked like they were saved had disappeared anyway. Problems only affected online tests.
So it's a small percentage, but to us and to lots of parents and kids, it's still an unacceptable level of performance because it just so dramatically increased the stress level for our students.
Ratcliffe said special education students were especially affected because some of their tests are only given online. Almost 2.5 million students took the STAR test, but most used paper and pencil. Ratcliffe said when teachers and testing rooms tried calling Educational Testing Services, the New Jersey-based company, some waited at least 2 hours for a response.
We've occasionally had small problems, but we'd never experienced anything like this before. The commissioner met last week with the head of ETS, and the company's working with us to improve performance. The exact dollar amount hasn't been determined yet, but there will be some fine.
The DEA asked for paper alternatives, but was told they wouldn't be ready by May when more students take STAR tests. Next week is the 4th annual Dallas Arts Week. It features more than 100 cultural events, including the Dallas Art Fair, the 20th anniversary of the Dance Planet Festival, and the Creative Conversation. That's Mayor Mike Rawlings' annual public discussion on the arts. The panel will be Monday at Dallas City Performance Hall, and the theme this year is education in the arts. So today at a press conference, Mayor Rawlings called up to the podium the high school students who recently won the Young American Talent Visual Arts Contest.
Where are they? Come up here. It's so much fun to see young talent. And look, you can go off to college and do more great art, but come back. Come back to Dallas. Your parents need you, okay? And we need you. We want to be a place that great artists, writers, theater people want to come and perform, all right?
Check out a full roster of Dallas Arts Week's events at artandseek.org. The Fort Worth City Council voted last night to create a historic district around the core of the city's iconic Stockyards District. In a historic district, developers that want to build or expand must have their plans reviewed by the city to make sure they're compatible with the neighborhood. As KERA's Christopher Connolly reports, the decision came after 3 hours of public comments, including from preservationists who were hoping for much larger boundaries.
More than 150 people packed into the city council chamber and overflow room, many wearing large yellow buttons that read, "Stockyards, go bigger." Paul Hunter was among those who pleaded with the council to pick the larger of two proposed historic districts.
How many ways must the city's own commissions, local, state, and national historic and preservation bodies, and citizens by the thousands say to this council, the small local historic district provides insufficient protection for the stockyards.
The council approved a 60-acre district, even though the city's Historic and Cultural Landmarks Commission had recommended a district more than twice as large. Libby Willis said that since city leaders are giving tens of millions of dollars of tax breaks to develop the stockyards, they should use their seat at the table to preserve history.
The job of historic preservationists is to identify what is important architecturally and historically. The job of the city is to protect it.
Others, though, saw a smaller historic district as a compromise. Mitch Witten from the city's tourism bureau said redeveloping parts of the stockyards will help bring in more money from the 3 million visitors who check out the iconic district every year.
People want more in the stockyards. They love the stockyards, but they want more to experience. They are looking forward to being able to spend more time there.
Fort Worth Mayor Betsy Price tried to assuage some concerns that a $175 million redevelopment plan underway in the stockyards would destroy it.
The stockyards are not about to be bulldozed, as the rumor has, for a Disneyland park. It's just not true.
There are, though, almost two dozen outstanding demolition permits for buildings in the stockyards. The mayor pointed out that developers say they want to find ways to incorporate aspects of those old buildings into new ones. That fell short for preservationist Kip Wright.
You offer the cannibalization of these historic buildings. Oh, we will demolish them, but we will save bits and pieces and put them somewhere. I don't know.
Regardless of the new historic district, those demolitions can't be stopped because they were granted before a historic district was approved.
But right now, what I've seen so far, I think developers are going to get everything they want tonight.
After hours of testimony, the council almost unanimously voted to go for the smaller boundary. And Zeta was the only no vote, a vote she said she was casting because she wanted to vote for the larger boundary.
I do not want anyone to think that this is a vote against the creation of a historic district, because I'm absolutely for that.
For Sal Espino, it was a question of balance. His council district includes the stockyards. He says he wants to preserve them.
At the same time, we know that the stockyards are in need of major infrastructure investment. They are in need of a serious infusion of cash flow to redevelop it, to preserve it, to keep it going.
Councilwoman Gina Bivens said a too large historic district would scare away that investment.
I believe taking on the larger area is government overreach.
If politics is the art of compromise, neither side seemed terribly thrilled with the decision. Preservationist Kip Wright said the boundary was haphazard, not designed with historic preservation in mind. Wright has been conducting a survey of the historic buildings in the area.
The city council ignored all of their advising committees as well as this historic survey and picked something that is incomplete and inadequate.
Kirby Smith had been hoping the city council would kill the historic district altogether. Smith is with Majestic Realty, which makes up half of the partnership behind the massive development project.
We didn't believe a historic district was necessary. However, if one was going to be placed, a smaller, sensible size district was appropriate. And I think that's where we ended up last night with the council's vote.
This debate was years in the making, and it's not the end of the discussion. Next month, the Fort Worth City Council will move forward with new standards that will help shape the look and feel of new development in the stockyards, a debate that no doubt will be just as lively. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Clear skies expected this evening with a low around 51. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high around 85, and tomorrow night mostly clear, low around 56. It's currently about 77 degrees across the listening area. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.